at the Hunterdon Medical Center. And it's all free. There's no cost and no charge. And what they go over the medications and side effects and what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And they also try to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also run a support group. It's on the third Thursday of every month. It's at 52 East Main Street at from 7 to 8:30, sometimes quarter to 9, 9 o'clock, depending on, you know, people's comments. It's all free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to come. You can just show up at the support group. If you want to take the class, you have to register, and you'll have to wait now till the next class that starts. But if you have any questions, you can reach out to us. It's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone man the phone 24/7, but we do have someone who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you as soon as possible. We are very privileged today to have... I'm going to screw up your last name.
Thielen.
Hey,
hey,
you
got
it.
You got it.
Got it. I didn't screw it up. We have David Thielen with us, and David is a safe talk trainer, which we will explain later. And you also were a teacher and school counselor for 30-plus years.
Right.
And you also advocated for suicide research and mental health equity in D.C.,
correct.
We'll come back and let you talk about that in a minute, too. But thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. We really appreciate it. I know you've had a lot of history with suicides. And would you explain that a little more? I know the first one when you were around 17.
Correct.
And then there was more in college and after college and then your nephew. So if you would, you know, just elaborate a little bit more about that.
Okay, a little history, and thank you for the opportunity to speak and be on this program. My first suicide, unfortunately, was I was 17. It was the beginning of the school year, and one of the girls who hung around with our group, I'll call it a gang, was being picked on. And she was from England, and... bottom line was she sounded different, and the kids made fun of her. I much later learned that that wasn't the only thing that was going on, but I went on vacation, and when I got back, she had died by suicide. Sadly, her brother went out for the track team and would have ordinarily been home. She was a diabetic, and she overdosed purposely on her insulin. Mm. So my first reaction was... total misunderstanding, anger, going after the guys that teased her, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I had no idea what I was looking at, and frankly, I didn't know what to do with it. Move forward, life changes, and I wind up getting involved in going to college, and two of my fraternity brothers ultimately died by suicide. One was my little brother in the fraternity. Another was a very good friend of mine, and he died a little after college. Again, I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but I knew there was a lot of things I needed to learn.
Right.
Moving along, I went into education, and again, I began to see depression and children with a lot of stressors. And I taught for 5 years. One is in the I taught 1 year of elementary, sixth grade, great way to learn how to teach. And then I taught social studies, all different kinds of interesting courses. But realized that I wanted to do something else. And I had a really good counselor who talked me into going to school. I wasn't going to go to school. And I realized that that was a neat position, became a counselor.
Right.
And the suicide came back into it because they wanted to run a hotline. They had no idea how to do it. In my master's program, I learned how to do crisis intervention. So I began training people on how to do that. And as a counselor, constantly we had issues with everything from depression to suicide to bipolar students and mm-hmm. so on. So I was the specialist.
Let me jump in for a second.
Sure.
Was that that was about 30 years ago when you started this hotline?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's no longer in existence, but it was called Madison Township Hotline in those days.
Were there many in those days, or was that one of the first?
Oh, no, there were a bunch. We used to have a meeting in the Poconos where we would do training for Pennsylvania hotlines and New Jersey hotlines. So I was allowed to, and able to train people in that.
The crisis intervention training is a program that is around now.
Right.
That police officers, EMTs.
Right.
I took it. Mm-hmm. A couple of other members of NAMI took it. In fact, the lady who started here in section of Jersey, she was a prosecutor in Union County and did the first couple classes up there, and that's where I took it, up there in Union County. Right. She has a law firm now here in Flemington and still supports it. NAMI supports it when they have it and by, you know,
right.
sending food and stuff like that there. But
Larry, is that the same as the mental health first aid classes?
No, not at all.
Something totally different.
No, right. Totally different. Okay. CIT training is a five-day 8-hour-a-day course, mm-hmm. And mental health first aid you can do in one day.
Right.
Okay.
So it's not anywhere close to it.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. All right. David, you were also involved with the American Foundation for the Prevention of Suicide.
Right.
Would you explain what that is and where that is and if it's still around or whatever?
It is still around. It began AFSP, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and their call sign, AFSP.org, if you want to learn more about them. And I would suggest that if you're dealing with suicide, it's a great resource.
Okay.
Okay. It began about 35, 40 years ago with four states wanting to do something about suicide. And the four states were New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and California. It's grown to include all 50 states.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with representatives in all those states.
Right.
And doing programs and doing research. It's the largest funder of research on suicide. The private funder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their government does spend some money on research, but we're the second largest funder. What we've done is we've raised a lot of funds. When we first started, it was suicide wasn't talked about. Okay.
Right.
So in the last few years, it's become the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. That's reported. We actually believe that there's
more
suicides that are either classified differently. At one time, doctors didn't want to classify it because your insurance would be affected, so died by an overdose.
Right, right.
Okay. So that's what AFSP is. As a member, I was on the board for the New Jersey chapter, Central Jersey chapter, and would go down to Washington and advocate. Right now, what I'm doing is running a program called Safe Talk, which was designed by somebody besides AFSP, but AFSP has programs, and they're responsible for the schools. We're responsible for schools having to have suicide recognition training for the teachers. We started that, again, 20-some-odd years ago. And at the time, New Jersey was the 40, had the highest rate of suicide, the second highest rate of suicide in the country. Now we have the second lowest. We're 49th out of 50.
Mm.
Part of it was these programs.
Right.
Right.
You know, going back to late 50s, mm-hmm. early 60s,
right.
You had bullying back then too, you know, and it's just gotten so bad now. I mean, it was bad back then, but right. Now it's like, you know,
Well, it is, and our research, and I need this to be kind of clarified, our research shows that bullying is probably not the underlying cause, but it's a contributing factor.
It's a contributing factor. Right.
It's you know, it's a precipitating event, possibly. More likely that, though there are some folks that are operating on, you know, the whole movement. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, bullying sucks. It should be. It should be addressed.
Right.
But the underlying cause, we're finding more and more information in the studies that we've had, including, I was just reading one yesterday, that the gray matter, okay, that's involved in your brain, if you have depression, for example, there's less gray matter. And if you get treatment, okay, there's a change in the look of the brain. Okay, there's also been some studies which show serotonin. There's a genome that secretes mm-hmm. serotonin, and that genome is hard to find if you have depression. But it seems to come back, or it's there, but we can't find
right,
it easily.
Right.
If somebody gets treatment and it's working, so right. there's a really good argument for the physical as well as psychological combination
mm-hmm.
for
right.
suicide.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like mental health.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want
exactly.
to talk about it, you know.
Exactly.
It's there,
right.
and it's causing lives, you know, costing lives, you know, and but they don't want to talk about it, you know. It's not going to go away by not talking about it, you know. Right. So I find that the more celebrities who have come out over the last couple of years admitting that they have mental health issues.
Right.
You know, Bruce Springsteen came out and said he suffers from depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the more that come out, you know, I think that helps.
It does, and the stigma is also – suicide is a big
absolutely.
Part of the stigma right. where people weren't talking about it. You said somebody died naturally or you didn't tell folks. And
right.
know, 50 years ago, you never said anything like that.
And stigma was one of the big things in mental health, too.
Right.
Mental illness.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, because so. This you're not normal.
Right.
I'm quoting.
Yeah, exactly.
Quotes,
right.
my fingers, right.
Right, right.
right.
You were also trained to run a support group called Survivors of Suicide.
Yes, and my wife and I, after we lost our nephew, and I'll explain that a little bit further, mm-hmm. but... we decided that we wanted to do something positive, make worth of our loss of our Michael was basically our child, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got involved. Actually, a member of AFSP came to visit us one week after Michael died. I'm not sure how she found out, but she and another person came and did a home visit. And we got interested in what we were seeing happening. I mean, we knew that there was an organization, but it was just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
So we lost Michael in 2001, January 16, 2001.
Ironically, I think I told you that's my wedding anniversary, January 16th.
Well, there's two reasons to remember then.
Yeah.
So... we decided to do something to try and make other folks have a way of coping.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent some time. I spent time attending a group, a support group. And again, at that point, I had degrees in marriage and family counseling on top of my master's degree. And we knew what we were looking at. We actually, one of the reasons that when I run a group, I'm a peer. I've lost
right.
your loved one, and you know, and he was the R's child. He was from Thailand. He came to live with us from 11 to 22, just before his 22nd birthday. His birthday would have been the 26th. That's when he died by suicide. We interrupted the process the year before. He was on some medication. It may not have been adequate. And he was not particularly interested in counseling. He only went a few times.
Right.
We thought things were getting better. And one of the things that's the key is even if you know what you're looking at, and we're a good example, when this is in your home, you want the person to be better. You wish that things would work out. So you start thinking in the more positive way, or trying to be supportive of the positive. In this case, Michael made a decision. He left us two notes, and he was very clear about what he was doing. So we had to deal with that. Michael came to us, and the children, we're a step family. So my daughter was an only child. My wife had three children, two boys and a girl. Michael was right in the middle of everything. When he came to live with us at age 11, he was in the sixth grade. So we had one in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth grades. It was a lot of fun when we went to college.
Oh, yeah.
But the beauty of it was, before, our nephew was from Thailand, and my wife was in international business at Merck at that time, and so she traveled to Thailand because we used to send money to his to have him go to school in Thailand.
Right.
Her brother was a bipolar alcoholic expatriate, eventually died pretty young, but he would disappear, and we later found out was abusive.
Mm.
So we had an opportunity. We thought we could bring Michael to live with us. His mother and the brother, who was sat live at that time, asked us to do that. Before we agreed, we talked to our children and said, we're going to bring your cousin. How do you feel about that? And we had a family discussion, right. And they were all in favor.
Right.
So when Michael came to us, he seemed to be okay. There was a lot of really funny things happening, and he didn't speak English, but he had an American passport because his father was a from the United States, and mother from Thailand. We watched him grow and develop, but at 15, the depression started coming out, and we addressed it as well as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Again, knowing what we looked at, we were looking at. One of the advantages of when I'm running a group is that I understand what it is to lose someone, and we also understand that you can try everything you can think of, and you still may not be able to to stop the process.
Right. Well, it's the same thing with mental illness. The support groups. We're peers, you know.
Right.
We have a son who has mental illness, so it's not like we're talking about something we haven't gone through. And, you know, as I told you before we went on the air, it's been a long haul. You know?
Absolutely.
And so we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. And before we take the break, I just want to say that on April 2nd from 3 to 7 at the county office buildings, there's going to be a volunteer session. And they're going to have tables, and companies are going to be there. And if you'd like to volunteer, you can go through the tables and see which would fit your needs. And they're all looking for volunteers. So if you're out there and want to volunteer, that's at April 2nd, 3 to 7, at the county building on Route 12 in Flemington. Okay, now you can take a break.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Our guest today is David Thielen, and he's a Safe Talk trainer, and he's also was a teacher and a school counselor, and he is also advocated for suicide research and mental health equity in D.C., talking to the politicians, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Lots of luck. Yeah. But I understand that you take outreach calls from survivors of
suicide loss. Right, yeah.
And you let them know that there's help out there. And so if somebody calls you,
right,
say I called you, what? How would that conversation?
Okay, well, the way it usually starts, because I can take a call from anywhere in the United States.
Right.
Generally, they usually try to have me do it in New Jersey. And what happens is we have a national hotline,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the website has a place where you can fill out a request for a contact from someone like myself who's trained in outreach. So what outreach means is that I will call the person. We can. Sometimes we go as two people. Usually we go and meet the person for a cup of coffee and or meet their family. This is what happened for us, that two people came to our house a week after Michael died by suicide. We were a mess at that point. And you see two people who have had the loss, and they look human. They're functional. And so it gives you a little way of dealing with something that you so know that there's you don't get over the loss. What you do is you find a way to cope with it.
Right.
So
and you're not alone,
and you're not, definitely not alone,
right? Yeah,
right, and that's the key. What we do with a SOS group, survivor suicide group. Okay, first, may person, and I'll take this call, and I'll describe what's available. Fortunately, in the United States, AFSP now has chapters in all 50 states.
Right.
Okay, we have people who are volunteers. It's 95% volunteers, though there is a organization that operates in Washington and New York. That's the actual place, mm-hmm. and then everybody else is pretty much a volunteer. Though they're now reaching out and being able to pay like state supervisors or state people to help you. So when a call comes in, I get the information. The biggest thing I do is listen, give a little bit of feedback, and then what I try to do is direct people to our website. On the website, everything from studies, which most people aren't ready for yet, but it's the idea of you're not alone, what can you do, take care of, take the time to grieve. The advice I always give is take the time to grieve and allow yourself to grieve. Okay. When you're ready, you might want to read some information about suicide so you understand it. Other important thing is that I try to hear the story, and most people have guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So you can't just get rid of the guilt. You need to kind of address it a bit. I had a case with Michael, our neighbor, talked to him maybe 12 times in the time that he was living with us all those years. And he stopped by and said, if only I talked to Michael more.
survivor's guilt, too.
Yeah, the survivor's guilt, too, right. So the idea is to, one, talk openly, two, normalize it, three, go have a cup of coffee if that seems appropriate with the person, but get them directed to an SOS group if they want to. The way you find an SOS group, you go online to afsb.org. You'll see seeking help or get some help, and it will tell you where the groups are in your state.
Right.
So, as I said, every state has a group. One of the ones that I founded is in Brick, New Jersey. I'm living now here out in Lambertville area, but that one I trained a couple people for, and it's still going. There are other groups also. There's one in Pennington right now. But in any place that you live, you can probably get one. There's a whole group in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania. So that's how that works.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Well, I just want to know, step one, you said someone calls you. Where do they get your phone number? What website? Where do they start?
Right. Well, again, they would get my number either by going online and looking it up there at AFSP. Most likely they get it, though, because we try to make a specific one. If they fill out the form, they want a contact. Because the national number is published, and if you go online, you'll see the number. Just so you're aware of it, the number is 1-800-273-TALK, TALK.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of easy to remember, and that's where you can get any kind of information you might need. If you have a crisis even, you can call that number.
Right.
So let's just repeat that. That's 1-800-273-TALK.
You got it.
And they could also go on the AFSP.org website and get through to you.
What they do is they fill out this form, and it's, you know, and how would they like to be contacted. I just had two of these calls in the last 2 weeks, and one was somebody who wanted to do something only on the phone. Mm-hmm. And the other one wanted to have a home visit. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to arrange that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That would be the way to get in touch with me personally. But there's a whole bunch of us who are used to making these kind of outreach programs.
Great.
Okay.
So I guess the other side of the coin here is the prevention. And you're involved in that through something called Safe Talk.
Right.
Which is designed by Living Works. Tell us about that.
Okay, so Safe Talk is a program that AFSP will pay for the program to be done. And what they do is they buy the materials, et cetera. And they paid for my training. I'm also an assist, which is another whole thing, and I'll let that go. That's the second phase. Safe Talk is the first phase of trying to make a community suicide safe. And Safe Talk stands for Suicide Awareness for Everyone. Uh-huh. And the method is TALK. That's with capital letters. Tell what you're seeing. T, you seem upset, or, you know, whatever you're seeing in the person's behavior. Ask the question, not something like, are you thinking of hurting yourself? You ask the question directly, are you thinking of suicide? And there is a reason for that, because that means you're really listening to the person. And that's one of the things we try to get across. You listen to the response. And what you may be seeing may not be suicidal. So you listen to the response, and then you make a judgment. And then you're going to keep that person safe and yourself. That's what the K is for. So it's a 3.5-hour program. I'm going to be actually doing one in a week. And the idea is to begin to set up a system in your community where if you think about, you're at the beach, right? The start of the thing is somebody sees somebody drowning or needing help, okay? So you get the lifeguard, or you do what you can do, and you take person to the lifeguard. The lifeguard keeps the person alive, goes to the next person, and so on. Well, that's kind of the idea. And Safe Talk is one version. There's actually versions on AFSP website, which has also got training and mm-hmm. can be done that way.
Right.
My co-trainer is actually doing one that AFSP came up with. Different names.
Right.
And they're actually recognized to training for teachers, training for safe talk is also for nurses, doctors, or just somebody who's interested. A little story, if I can.
Go ahead.
Somebody who knew us from a nonprofit that we run outside the United States and a supporter, and she asked to come into our program. Okay, so I knew something was going on. It turned out she was very worried about a good friend of hers, and she came into the safe talk, but she was afraid. One of the big myths is if you say the word suicide,
that's exactly what
right?
I was going to ask you.
Right.
You're going to big incite myths. It.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Cause it.
That's the biggest myth, because in today's society, everybody knows that's an alternative. Okay, so you're not putting it in their mind. Anyway, so this good friend of ours was concerned. She got a couple of people to come into the program. They did the program. They learned how to ask the question. And the next day I got a phone call, which I was very grateful for. And the phone call was she had asked the question. She had gone, and she knew what to do with it. And it turned out the person she was worried about was not having suicidal ideation. So she had a big relaxation on that one. Okay. Other folks have called and said, I asked the question and got the person to help. So,
yeah. And, you know, years ago, one of the myths was you don't ask the question.
Right.
You know, no. You go around it or circle it or whatever, but
right.
You don't say, are you considering suicide? Right. That's a no-no years ago.
Years ago, right. Exactly.
You know? And now, depending on a certain situation,
well,
you say it, or you can say it.
You can, and it also, the bottom line is it takes some of the energy out of the word. I mean,
right.
Let's face it. I've developed something else called Everything You Want to Know About Suicide, and We're Afraid to Ask. Okay, and of course, one of my first questions is, what do you think of when you hear the word suicide? You know, and the audience will give you a whole bunch of connotations, and it's wonderful to look at people's faces. You say the word suicide, and it's like the mental health issue,
right.
too. People react instead of understanding or realizing that this is something that you can work with.
Right.
Okay.
And unfortunately, sometimes family
right.
doesn't recognize or doesn't see it in the individual.
Right. One thing I really like, though, to emphasize is that we're not trained. Family members are not trained to see this.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So what we see is, the kid's going through puberty or something of that nature, or my friend's having a little bit of a bad time. And frankly, that's what we're hoping.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But the reality is I knew what I was looking at with Michael. So did my wife.
Right.
Okay? Our kids had an idea, but they were – he was their brother, and they didn't give us some information they knew about him.
Mm-hmm.
Two weeks before he had stopped going to school, we didn't know that. Okay? And we didn't know that he had stopped going to work. If we had known either fact, we might have reacted quicker.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, and again, I've never called my children on that because it doesn't make any sense. They were doing what they thought was right.
It was right.
Right.
You know.
So.
There's a lot of myths concerning suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Would you speak to that and go over some of them?
Sure. If you don't mind, I'm going to
go
to my notes here.
Go to your notes.
Yeah. Okay.
We're on the radio. They can't see you.
Right?
Going
notes.
To your notes.
Oh, great. That's right. This
we just told them you were going to them, but they can't see it. So.
Oh, well, humor is usually worthwhile. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. For the top 10... there's a lot of fun things we've learned. One of the biggest myths is suicide only affects individuals with mental health conditions. That's actually not true.
Right.
Okay? There can be reasons for people who die by suicide. And by the way, that's the way we want to get people to get to the idea that it's die by suicide.
Right.
We're taking the disease approach to try to research. And that's what's going to help us learn more and more. Because we are talking about a physical as well as psychological issue here. So the bottom line is individuals with mental illness are not necessarily affected by suicide thoughts. It depends on what kind of mental illness we're talking about.
Right.
Okay, there are also just relationship problems. there sometimes, you know, we had a case of a student who broke up with his girlfriend, and that was the precipitating event.
Right.
But he didn't give himself enough time in between his immediate reaction. And so he wasn't it wasn't a mental illness necessarily.
Right.
It was an overreaction. Okay, mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean he was mentally ill.
Right.
Okay, so it's that kind of things, or persecution, or criminal. You know, there's reasons why you might not want to go to jail, and you might use this as an alternative, or that you have an illness that is pretty you choose not to live with.
Right.
Okay. So there's other things. Death of a loved one.
Yep.
You know, we have reactions to things like that, and we worry about that with suicide. If somebody you know has
right.
died by suicide, that can affect your mental health, and you're going to have to deal with it. I get calls frequently where people mm-hmm. are thinking about it, who've lost someone. One of the other big myths is when an individual is suicidal, he or she will always remain suicidal. That is actually
true.
Absolutely not
right.
true. Okay, it's a crisis situation, and the reality is people with suicidal ideation, if they work through it, in most cases, they choose life.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's also true if they have attempted. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will attempt again. It can be an indicator, the fact that they're willing to
right.
self-harm.
Right. Right.
Okay. But it doesn't mean that
they will.
Well, right. It's something like 85%, 90% don't repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the other things is suicides react without warning. I've done 2,000 plus psychological postmortems. In all but one, there's been a treatable mental health.
Right.
The one I could not find one.
Right.
Okay, so there's usually some kind of warning. In the Safe Talk program, we talk about an invitation people make, but you don't recognize it as an invitation.
Invitation, right.
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 So, and let me just see. Oh, yeah, well, we've already talked about talking about suicide.
Right.
It doesn't encourage it.
Right.
So, okay.
We have to take another quick break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We've been talking about suicide and different things affected by it and, you know, various solutions. David, do you feel like there's more pressure, a lot more pressure put on you today than there used to be?
I think it's in a different way. There's less connection, okay? And this is just my personal thing. I have seen some studies, and, of course, there is a pressure, maybe not so much. It used to be you had to go to the best college and all this other thing, but people are learning that may not be the issue. But there is a pressure and a disconnect, I think,
mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is, you know, we walk around with our phones.
No,
you can't
I don't.
Right. We walk around with our phones. He's probably got a flip phone. Right?
I do. Okay. Absolutely.
That's all right. I have an Apple, and I don't like it too much. But my wife loves Apple. So not to make fun of this, it's a really important thing that we don't seem to have a lot of connection that isn't through something artificial.
Right.
So you wind up having pressures to look a certain way, and that was always true. And you always, you know, there were always people who were the ins and the outs and stuff like that. And especially now, you know, all these issues with schools and the children and this, you walk out the door and you're thinking about things you never used to think about. Right. So those pressures become a whole different bag. You know, the fact that go to an airport now, you look for the door to exit just in case, okay? Even when you're in a store, you may do that. So all that kind of stuff adds to, I think, stressors. And we do less connection, that I say. My wife and I have to travel to see our kids because one's in California. One's in Hopewell, real close by here. That's why we moved here. One in Ohio, and the other one is in New Hampshire. They talk funny up there, you know.
Yeah.
And so we have to actually move around a lot, which is good, and you know, in one sense. But the families don't stay together, and that's a stressor, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're fortunate because people say to me, Larry, why do you stay here in Jersey? It's so expensive, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I got four kids, three granddaughters, and they all live within 40 minutes of me. My four kids live within 20 minutes of me.
There you go.
If I was going anywhere and saving money, I'd be spending it flying back and forth or driving back and forth for holidays, birthdays, Thanksgiving, etc. So, plus, we like where we live because we're in the woods.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, no. David, what's another age group that's high on the suicide scale?
Well, the highest rate of suicide is males, and it's 45, 50 in that area. Highest, very highest is 80.
Right.
Males who are 80. And males complete the suicide more frequently than females. Females attempt more,
but they don't complete it.
Right. You know, and the other part is then we get to the younger folks, and it depends on where it is. I mean, what's scary is you can have a kid in primary school these days, and they can get the idea. The information that's available on the internet is disturbing because you can figure out a way to do this. In Michael's case, the method he used was on the internet. I had never heard of it before. And he burned charcoal in his closet. So it was carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right.
He made sure nobody else was hurt.
Right.
That was his choice.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the age groups and something that we caution people in Safe Talk is, you know, you can say there is a group of people who are more at risk. And, yeah, that's kind of true. But when you're trying to check out somebody who might be suicidal or have suicidal ideation, forget about that. Because this could be somebody who isn't in the category you're
mm-hmm.
thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you dismiss it, you may miss an opportunity to help that person.
Right. And, you know, like I said earlier, sometimes you just don't pick up on it.
Right.
You know. We know someone who had a place up in New Hampshire or Vermont, someplace
right.
up that way. And the son worked with them, and they doing everything, and he always did his chores. And one day after he did his chores, he says, okay, Dad, I'm going to go take a ride. And he went and killed himself, you know, by putting him from the exhaust pipe into the car, you know,
right.
the hose. And it's like, you know, they didn't.
They weren't expecting it.
They weren't expecting
it. Any signs,
right.
It's probably even harder.
Well, because often the person will not share. In
right.
fact, only, I don't know whether you know this, only one-third of the time is a note left. Okay.
Right.
So we were fortunate. We had two notes, and it was interesting the way he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we don't see the signs doesn't mean there aren't signs.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right. It's just that we're not trained
right.
to do that.
Right. To pick up on them.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
changes of behavior are a big one.
Right.
Right.
Why do you feel that murder and suicide are a special category?
Well, because it involves a different set of studies that I've read. And you're talking about a case where there is issues of things like jealousy, things like it's not somebody who's dying to stop their pain, okay?
Right.
Though they're probably in a form of pain. And that's a guess on my part, because every study I've read, they said, well, it's a little hard to say exactly what the mechanism is. Definitely jealousy is involved. It usually, you know, the family, when they kill the family and the kids, there's something wrong with the way their wiring's going on.
Right.
I used to think it was voices at one point, and in a sense, it could be that. You know, something goes on here and says, "You, my kids can't live in this world the way it is, or without me, or that kind of thing." So it's a very, the wiring is not working well.
But
is the best I could say.
Schizophrenics hear voices.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Right. The conditions.
And they're not always nice. You know.
No.
Trust me, I know from experience. You know.
Well, the 90 to 95% of all suicides involved usually and many times an unrecognized mental health
issue.
And there's at least five of them. Okay, we're talking about, you know, most of us get depression or and bipolar. Okay, borderline we don't catch a lot of the time. Okay. You throw drugs and alcohol, by the way.
Right.
Besides the anxiety disorder, people don't realize how serious anxiety disorder
is. How serious it is, right.
And you know what? I just blanked on one. Sorry about that. But if you mix, how did I do that? That's interesting. my brain's not
the
working
pressure.
Right. It'll come back to me, unfortunately, after the show. The bottom line is if you mix drugs and alcohol, you've got quite a bad cocktail.
Right.
And so kind of not answering your original question but answering it is that there's in my mind and what I've read so far, is there's some kind of bad connections in the murder-suicides. And we still don't know enough about it.
Right.
We're still trying to figure it out.
And you know, the sad thing is, too, that everybody gets depressed.
Oh,
I don't
right.
care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. You know, you lost your job, you broke up with your girlfriend, you know, cracked up your brand new car. You know, everybody gets depressed.
Mm.
The problem with depression is when it becomes critical is how long you're depressed for.
I would agree, yeah.
You know, and that's a proven fact. I know I lost my job, and I was out chopping wood one day. And I'm saying to myself, Cartwright, you've got four kids, mortgage, car payments. You got to put food on the table, insurance. You better go out there and get a job and quit cutting wood, you know.
Right.
So I did. But the point is that, you know, you can be. I was depressed while I was doing it. But not. And like I said, everybody gets depressed. Everybody gets anxious, you know. But it's a matter of how long it lasts before it becomes an illness.
Well, exactly, and how many things are repeated.
Yeah, right.
And then there's the exception to the rule. There's somebody who has everything imaginable. They're like a Job, okay,
right.
in the
right.
Bible. Everything seems to be testing
right.
them, right? And they survive.
Yep.
You know, and how does that happen? Probably because their mind functions in a different way,
right.
in a more positive way.
Now, we've only got about a minute left.
Okay.
So, if you would like to, if someone wanted to reach out to you,
right.
Would you give the, was it Facebook, email, again, please?
Okay.
Or the phone number
yeah, well,
again?
Best thing, again, if you go into afsp.org and request a talk. You can do that way. I have my number is posted. So my local number that you can use if you want to talk to me is area code 609-773-6043.
Let's repeat both AFSP.org and your
AFSP,
phone number.
Okay, AFSP.org. My phone number is area code 609-773-6043. That's, you can leave a message there. Okay. I usually get back to you. There is a time when I may not get back to you right away because I will be in Africa. We run a nonprofit, and I never talked about that, but one of the ways that we do something for us is to work in Africa with children and get them to school.
Okay. Just wait till the virus is over.
Right now we're not going.
Don't go anywhere soon.
What about your next Safe Talk program? Do you still have openings in that? You
said the two that I have right now are not they're already set up. Okay. So I don't have dates, but that can be, if you call me, I'll give the date. Mm-hmm. But we're still setting them up. Okay, and there are programs that AFSP does in addition. Online, they'll show where you can sign up for them.
Okay? David, I thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate the chance.
You'll have to come back again.
Really?
Yes, definitely. I'll have you back again. Okay. You can bring your wife next time, too, even if she just sits there and doesn't talk.
Yeah. That's never going to happen.
What, that she won't talk or come?
No. Jean is a very interesting and... she's got a whole another thing that she does.
Well, you know, that's fine. Cool. You know, cool. So you two of you together, that'd be great.
All right. Thank you so much.
But thank you so much.
Thank you for the time.
And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar is suspending her presidential campaign and plans to endorse former Vice President Joe Biden at an event in Dallas, Texas on Monday night. Klobuchar is dropping out before her home state of Minnesota votes on Super Tuesday. Matt Gorman is a campaign strategist. He tells Fox News this move by Klobuchar may have been a very strategic one.
I think on the whole, it's pretty strategic and smart. She obviously wanted to win Minnesota, but she's showing her loyalty to Joe Biden, hoping that when the time comes, maybe he'll return the favor, maybe his VP.
The Defense Department says it's preparing for all coronavirus outbreak scenarios. Speaking at the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Mark Esper says they're in constant communications with the administration to participate in the government effort to combat the spread of the virus. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
The Supreme Court will not consider a challenge to the ban on bump stocks. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
The Trump administration imposed the ban on bump stocks after the deadly mass shooting in Las Vegas in 2017. A bump stock is a rapid-fire device that gives rifles the capability to mimic automatic weapons, and the Vegas shooting massacre left 59 people dead and hundreds of others wounded in the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history.
U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams is touring a public health laboratory in Connecticut as people continue to brace for a possible coronavirus outbreak. Adams tells reporters there's no need to panic.
We want folks to know that your risk as an individual remains low, but that doesn't mean that we, as your health officials and state officials, aren't doing everything possible to prepare for what we know will be increased cases of coronavirus.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Ken Cuccinelli is calling for a boycott of Greyhound after the bus company announced they would stop cooperating with federal immigration enforcement. Cuccinelli tells Fox News they're going to continue doing enforcement at transportation hubs, and it's been going on for years.
So it's very similar to when we saw this from Greyhound. Is the Congress has given Customs Border Protection 100 miles from the border to essentially do border enforcement. If you think about that, it makes perfect sense. You can't literally expect to line a 2,000-mile border, and heck, the southern border is shorter than the northern border, with people to deal with people exactly on the border. So we have internal checkpoints near the border, and the real issue here is doing enforcement at transportation hubs. And I got news for you and this bus company. We're going to keep doing enforcement right at those transportation hubs within the boundaries of the law, as we have for decades. Decades, literally. The president's been very clear to keep pressing ahead.
Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at penzillow.com/travelon.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Las Vegas marks a year since the worst mass shooting in American history. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
58 people were shot and killed, and hundreds more were wounded when a gunman opened fire at a country music festival on the Las Vegas Strip on October 1, 2017. 1 year later, at a sunrise memorial service in Las Vegas, Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval says the massacre will, of course, never be forgotten, but the courage and conviction of those lost and wounded will always keep the community together.
We became one people, one community, one family. We cried, we grieved, and we resolved to become Vegas strong.
The service, one of several events held in Las Vegas to remember the tragic anniversary.
California has become the first state to require a publicly traded company to include a woman on their board of directors. Governor Jerry Brown signed the law into effect yesterday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
A debate was set to take place Sunday between Senator Ted Cruz and his challenger Beto O'Rourke.